Anywhere we go to, we try to make our mark. Any country you visit and you don't see a Nigerian, then don't go to that country. That means there's something wrong.
But what happens when making a mark turns into being a target? What happens when African nationals are being persecuted in another African nation?
It is a concerning reality. From the streets of Johannesburg in South Africa to Maputo in Mozambique, we are seeing a rise in reported xenophobic attacks. And data shows it's no longer just a clash of cultures. It's becoming a systemic crisis.
Some call it economic competition. Others call it political scapegoating. But the numbers don't always support the job theft narrative. So if it isn't the economy, what therefore is the root of xenophobia?
The root cause of the problem is, number one, that the South African government is not taking illegal migration seriously. And then when people are put in a corner, they believe that they are vulnerable enough and they are vulnerable to migrants.
But experts' reports largely reject the idea that migration is the sole cause of economic hardship. Also, the stereotype that migration equals criminality has been contested widely.
So, how does a continent dreaming of shared unity and prosperity root out incendiary anti-migrant movements and stereotypes?
The few Nigerians that are having problems, if the authorities in these countries get them, they should face the law. But this should not be now, it should not trickle down to law-abiding citizens.
So how do governments stamp out xenophobic violence and instead create conditions where immigrants and locals work together to form mutually beneficial shared communities?
These are the hard questions that we are unpacking under the Baobab today.
Yes.
Hi, George.
Hi, ladies first today.
Finally, thank you. Good morning, everyone, or good day, everyone, by the way. Welcome to Under the Baobab. My name is Mimi Mefonewu.
Of course, and a very warm welcome as well. My name is George Okachi. On this show, we break down complex issues. We make them accessible and personal.
And we do so every Friday of the week, where we get to talk to policymakers, mm-hmm. opposition leaders. We talk to politicians across Africa and we make complex issues personal every Friday of the week. We talk about some of the issues that are shaping Africa's future. Mm-hmm. So please don't forget to subscribe. Last week's topic was very interesting on the Gambia.
Yeah, it was indeed.
A lot of reactions, people saying, oh, wow, under the Baobab. So we are expecting the same reactions this time.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting, Mimi, the way we are interacting with the community, whereby they are even telling us what they want us to talk about.
And today
we are joined by Professor Jude Osakwe, the chairman of the African chapter of Nigerians in Diaspora Organization, also known as NIDO. This is, a request from some of our viewers who are trying to ask, okay, what is happening to Nigerians who are living abroad because of the rising cases of xenophobic attacks in some African countries?
Particularly in South Africa and, also in Mozambique. And remember, the last time we talked about this topic, we were looking at the impact of groups like Operation Dudula. Now we have the March to March in South Africa. Nigerians in the diaspora are amongst those that have been, asked to leave South Africa by some of these organizations or groups that have been created. And remember, this happened in a country, happening in a country that prides itself as a rainbow nation, a country that is welcoming, there's diversity and so on and so forth. And we also saw a lot of, diverse reactions from the viewers. It was really polarized when we had this discussion the last time.
It's normally a polarized, discussion, Mimi. And to me, it's like a powder cake. And it's spreading. And just recently we reported, 40 Nigerians arrested and deported from Mozambique. What was concerning and unsettling about this particular report is that many reportedly held valid documentations. That is according to the claim by, people representing them in the diaspora and also from Nigerian officials. But better still, they were, subject of, deportation and arrest. So it seems like it was a targeted, you know, approach.
Yeah, exactly. Even before dust settled on the Mozambique case, there are also fresh xenophobic attacks emerging in South Africa. Citizens in South Africa believe that foreign nationals, particularly foreign nationals from other parts of the continent, are not supposed to be in South Africa, whether you have valid documents or not.
Definitely, that must be condemned at all costs. Anybody who has proper documentation to live in any country, especially in African country, is allowed to live, Mimi. And of course, if the discussion was around targeting illegal migration, I think that would make a lot of sense. But also we've seen, interventions from different governments. Just recently, the Nigerian government, preparing to deport some of its, rather repatriate some of its citizens who are willing to, come out
but
of South Africa.
But we are not sure whether it's actually repatriation, because they are being told reportedly that they have to pay their flights back home. So is that really repatriation? That's also something that we are looking into. We're also seeing, the Ghanaian government reacting to that and, discussing diplomatically to see how they can protect their citizens.
Yes.
We are seeing talks between the Zimbabwean president and the president of South Africa, with regards to the xenophobic attacks that, foreigners are going through in South Africa. But for people like Professor Jude Asakwe, they have so far criticized Nigerian diplomatic representation in foreign countries for their response to trouble that some Nigerian citizens are going through. They were so, outspoken about it, and they were not comfortable that Nigerian officials are not taking it seriously, especially when the situation of Mozambique just started. So let us find out from him how he feels about this. Let him also tell us what he thinks about the Nigerian diplomatic officials' missions in Southern Africa, precisely, and how they are reacting when Nigerians are in trouble. Let's hear from him.
You see, if Nigerians are not in a country, I don't think we should have embassies there. So embassies are there to serve Nigerians, to serve as a link between Nigeria and that particular country they are serving. So when Nigerians are having issues like this and the embassies are not forthcoming, it becomes very troubling. At the first instance, it was like trying to push them to do what they were supposed to do. So that was the first time I had to criticize them for their slow action.
Some Nigerians abroad have been accused of having false documents or staying illegally in some of their host countries, even though you say many of those arrested were legally registered in Mozambique. Are you saying that there was no absolute justification for these arrests?
If there's any reason, they should come out to tell us, because nothing has been said, no reason has been given. I'm not trying to defend anyone here. If their papers are not, their documents are not in order, take them to deportation camp, not prison. If Nigerians, not only in Mozambique, in any other country, if they are having document problems, the immigration offices in those countries, they know what to do. I think there are procedures that should be followed.
Nigerians have faced tensions in countries like South Africa, Ghana, the UAE, and parts of Europe, as well as the United States. Yet some critics say Nigeria's response has not always been strong enough. I mean, from organizations like yours. Would you say that reflects a failure by Nigerian authorities or diaspora leadership to protect Nigerians who are living in the diaspora?
It's not a failure in any way, because what we are doing now, particularly in the area of Mozambique, is what we are supposed to do. I cannot go to the Mozambican government to say, release my people, but I can pressure the Nigerian government to do something. So we have not failed in any way. And in terms of Nigerians being targeted in other countries, unfortunately, that is what is happening. If you go to South Africa, it's happening there. All Nigerians are not bad. The few Nigerians that are having problems, if the authorities in these countries get them, they should face the law. It should not trickle down to law-abiding citizens that are doing their legitimate jobs or duties in these countries.
So George, xenophobic attacks, like what we are seeing in South Africa, is affecting citizens from different African countries.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yes, but we are talking about Nigeria particularly today because Nigeria is Africa's most populous nation, with a population projected to hit over 200 million by mid this year.
Yes.
So some people even joke that wherever you go, you might just be standing at a pharmacy, you know, in a shop, and there's always a Nigerian next to you. And we even heard from our guests that if you go to a country and there's no Nigerian there, then don't stay in that country.
Yeah, that is undeniable. And I believe also, you know, people who are following this particular conversation will agree. And it's not just about, you know, the numbers. It's about the influence, you know, Nigeria has. Nigeria is one of Africa's cultural and economic engine. We're talking about, you know, Nigerian churches. We're talking about the oil and gas.
Yes.
Afrobeats.
Yeah.
You know, the list is endless, Mimi.
Actually, and then there's also Nollywood, you know. Nollywood is, you know, showing the way or like guiding every other movie industry in Africa. And it's one of Africa's largest film industries by volume. Whether it's the tech hubs in Lagos or the entrepreneurs that we have in Johannesburg, the Nigerian spirit is very massive when it comes to driving an economy. They are always very impactful.
Entrepreneurs.
They're always present, yes.
Yes, they're present. And I like the word, you know, you're using the word, the Nigerian spirit. And this reputation for Nigerians as, you know, business-minded people is demonstrated throughout, you know, the estimated, I think they have about 17 million Nigerians who are living, you know, abroad. And they contribute, according to figures, about $20 billion, you know, as, you know, diaspora remittance back to Nigeria.
Back to Nigeria. Yes. The question is always, how much are they contributing to their host countries?
Yes.
And that's always where the debate is. You know, for South Africa, for instance, citizens in South Africa would look at these figures and say, oh, they are working all the money and sending it back home.
Yes.
Why don't we have figures in South Africa telling us how much Nigerians, Ghanaians, Zimbabweans are contributing to the economy in South Africa?
It may not be direct, maybe it's indirectly, because say if someone is a business person and maybe they would be paying, you know, custom duty or any tax associated with the business that they are operating, then they are contributing massively to the economy.
And especially plus, also recruiting maybe nationals from the host countries. Definitely. Is also a lot of contribution.
That can also count.
But I should say, of course, that the fact that some people think in South Africa particularly that Nigerians could be, you know, earning a lot of money and sending the money back home instead of trying to keep the money in South Africa for the country's economy, it's simply assumptions because we are not sure exactly how much Nigerians or other Africans are contributing
to drive the economy. Yeah.
But because these are some things that, these are some sort of misconceptions that people have about Nigerians who are abroad. We also try to talk to our guest about it.
One thing about Nigeria as a country and Nigerians as individuals is that anywhere we go to, we try to make our mark. Any country you visit and you don't see a Nigerian, then don't go to that country. That means there's something wrong, be it in academics, be it in medicine, be it in any professional specialization. Nigerians are always doing well. And we have that mindset that we must achieve. I can say Nigerians are hustlers, but the major thing is when we are even hustling, we do it legally in any country we find ourselves. Yes, I will not deny the fact that we may have few Nigerians that may be causing problems for us, but that does not mean that all Nigerians are bad.
Now, some Nigerians living abroad say that their biggest challenge is not foreign governments, but weak support from their embassies and organizations meant to represent them. Of some of those organizations, you're currently heading it. Is this a structural problem within Nigeria's foreign service?
For us, we do all we feel we can do to see how we can assist Nigerians. For example, we have an emergency number contact which you have put out there for all Nigerians in Africa. Anywhere you are and you are having issues, there is a number which you can reach out to. And once you get that number, once you call that number, we will be able to see how we can assist you. We as an organization, we are doing our best to see how we can assist Nigerians.
Do you think Nigerians generally recognize your organization as legitimate? And do they trust it to represent their interests?
The organization was established through an act of parliament by the National Assembly, so it is a recognized organization. For Nigerians, yes, they recognize the organization because most of them run to us when they have issues. If you look at the issue of Mozambique, we have been speaking out and talking about it. And I have been working directly with the embassy as of now to see how we can assist to bring out these Nigerians that have been unjustifiably arrested. So, yes, we are recognized.
Yes, of course, Jude, doubling down that the organization is recognized and they are doing much to try and support Nigerians living abroad. But we decided, of course, this is under the baobab, and normally whenever we have such, you know, pertinent concerns, we normally want to speak to people that it concerns. And we decided to, you know, spread the conversation a little bit wider to South Africans and ask them why they think some foreign nationals, because we've admitted that it is not only Nigerians, but largely we've had, you know, a huge number of Nigerians being affected. So South Africans to tell us why they think, you know, Nigerians are targeted in their country.
Yes, we also wanted people in Nigeria to tell us why some Nigerians abroad are often viewed with suspicion. So our colleagues in Nigeria, Chinaza Jennifer, and also Tuzo Kumalo in South Africa, were charged with speaking to people on the streets. Let's hear from these people.
The root cause of the problem is, number one, that the South African government is not taking illegal migration seriously. When you look at the South African population in general, many of them are very poor. And when people go poor and go hungry, they will target the next person, so the lowest lying fruit here, because they cannot access their officials, they cannot access the corrupt cops. They then look at those that they believe are the lowest hanging fruit, and migrants become the easy target in that kind of a situation.
If you can look at the capitalist system that we currently live in, where employers feel that they want to milk everything for themselves, foreigners are making that situation worse, because when South Africans are demanding the minimum wage, they come and offer themselves at a very cheap price and behave like slaves in this country. People didn't die for this country to have slaves again in 2026.
We are trying to create opportunities for South Africans, because what we've realized is that most South Africans, when they are knocking in these businesses trying to get employment, they are told there is no employment. At some instances, we'll find that whenever a South African leaves and then a foreign national comes in, they will hire or they will entertain a foreign national over a South African.
Most people don't have good perception about Nigerians in the international space. But as I said, that doesn't mean the whole Nigerians behave in such a way. So I think the government should, you know, come step in to really protect, Nigerians abroad.
These stereotypes that we're talking about stems from people not liking Nigerians as a person, as a people, because we have so much to offer and they don't want us to grow. This appeal goes to every Nigerian, every working hard Nigerian that is in South Africa. Do well to leave. When you leave, you have contributed so much to the economy. When you leave, they will still have a reason to blame other things.
The South Africans are ungrateful compared to what the Nigerian government have done for them, especially in the past, during the time of apartheid and all of that. Well, this new generation, I don't know what happens, whether they have forgotten that history.
When I'm listening to them, I just feel like, how do you target someone who has been given visa, granted visa, to have access to a country by a particular government, instead of questioning your government why they are letting people in?
Yes.
And how do you even target someone that you don't know, and you create a whole perception and narrative about them? How do we come about having that kind of feeling about other people?
There is clear, political opportunism, politicians perhaps, or people with the xenophobic, agenda, using some factors to lure people who would find migrants otherwise, the softer target to vent their anger.
Yeah,
to.
I'm a Cameroonian today. Yes. If I become a billionaire or a millionaire and I decide to invest in South Africa, do you think I'm going to be targeted? The answer is actually no, because they go for the
they're normal income. You know, normal
earners,
brothers and sisters,
those
people
who are struggling
neighbors,
like
yeah.
them
exactly.
Instead of targeting the officials that are responsible for the bad policies in the country, they are responsible for the economy that is not moving well. They are responsible for the unemployment and the joblessness in South Africa. We're also seeing South African authorities saying that we are going to do everything to clamp down on those who are being xenophobic.
Yeah, but you see, Mimi, talk alone is not enough. There must be action. That these things are happening currently, Mimi, it calls for a serious and thorough conversation, because we can also not, you know, ignore the facts and the claims that we are getting from South Africans who are concerned about, you know, the issue of illegal immigration. So how do we deal with illegal immigration without it bordering xenophobic attacks or rising xenophobic violence within, you know, streets in South Africa?
Yeah.
And how do we make sure that, you know, the communities, the immigrants who are in South Africa, you know, coexist in a mutually beneficial, you know, ecosystem with South Africans. So I think this is a very critical conversation. That
critical conversation, especially questioning what officials are doing really to stop this. We are talking about xenophobic attacks, which started just shortly after the post-apartheid era.
Yes.
So it's in the 90s that all of this started. Foreigners being targeted, whether you're Nigerian, Ghanaian, Cameroonian. I even saw a very startling video of a Cameroonian who was targeted just recently in South Africa as well. So people from Somalia,
yeah.
We are seeing people from Zimbabwe, Ethiopia. But why not channel that energy to the governments?
Yes.
Why not question the authorities that are in place and failing to, you know, provide just the basic.
That is the critical concern, and there is where the research should start, Mimi. Like, you know, we have to channel the energy to where the root causes of, you know, the problems that South Africans perhaps are raising, and not allowing xenophobia to, you know, to trickle in into trying to solve the particular problem, because that will not be the solution to the problems, you know, the South Africans are facing.
And that's also what we discussed with our guests.
For me, I am the continental chairman. And within the African countries, we have different chapters. So within the chapters, we have done a lot. Let me give you an example. In Namibia, we try as much as possible to make sure that we live according to the laws of the country. And that is what we preach in every country.
For Nigerians who feel unwanted abroad, but also feel they cannot return home because of economic hardship, what advice would you give them?
Okay, you are saying that you cannot go back home because of the economy, and then the country you are staying, they are saying you should go. You are not doing anything. To me, I would advise you to go back home, because no matter what, home is home. Home is the best. If there's nothing you are doing in the country you are staying, you don't have anything you are doing, then why stay back? Why hide? Sometimes you see most of these people, when they hear that immigration officers are coming, you see them hiding, running helter-skelter because they don't have papers. They don't have a particular job you're doing. You know, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. For me, I feel there must be something there's something for everybody at home. These are the things we preach. Though most of the time, we assist them in getting attached to some business people, so that they learn something and start their own business. We've done it so many times in Namibia. I will use that as an example. When we have some people who came and we found out that they were already have legal stay or permits in that country. So what we do is to look for business people that have shops. Okay, please attach this person with you, let the person learn, and then we'll see how to sort the person out. Because Nigerians in most African countries are business people. They are traders, and we try as much as possible to see how we can attach Nigerians to them to learn and then start theirs. But for those who cannot do it, what we advise is go back home.
Despite awareness campaigns and international efforts, why does human trafficking remain such a big and serious problem in Nigeria today?
I've been calling out to the National Assembly for them to enact a law that will prosecute parents who give out underage children, because that is what the problem we're having now. They want to take them to Canada, they want to take them to US to work in a restaurant or wherever, and they end up in one of these African countries. There was one that was taken to Mali. From Mali, she was sold to another person in Senegal. It was in Senegal that she was rescued. And if you put them together, they will tell you it's their religious leader in the church, their mother or their father that gave them out to the religious leader in the church or in their place of worship, and then they took them out. So it has to start from the home.
So under the Baobab, we are not just questioning leadership. We are trying to also know our guests on a personal level.
Yes.
How do we do to cool down things?
Definitely, we do that in a very special way. We normally, you know, retreat back to the shades of this beautiful tree, the Baobab, and we get to know our guests on the other side. And we do so under the rapid fire segment.
What was your favorite food as a child?
Well, I'm not that kind of favorite person in terms of food. I eat what I feel is good. But when you give me egusi soup with garri, I think.
And what is that meal that you cannot not have in your kitchen, even if you are abroad?
Jollof rice.
Interesting. And how do you balance your demanding professional responsibilities with family life?
It's not easy, but I thank God that I have family that understand. But anytime I'm with them, I make sure I give quality time.
And if you were not advocating for Nigerians in the diaspora or fighting human trafficking, what career would you be pursuing?
I'm a professor of informatics at the Namibia University of Science and Technology.
So what special nickname do you have for your wife that only you get to use it when you're speaking to her?
Mommy, it's my mother. My wife is my mother.
Interesting. So what is the title of the last book that you read?
Most of the books I've been reading are basically in my area of research. So there are many of them in information systems. I've written one recently, which will be published soon. I think that is the last one I've read, though.
Mommy,
that is what I caught as well.
Oh, that's so nice.
What is your special pet name?
Mommy as well.
Mommy as well. Yes. Oh, wonderful. I'll think about that mommy word. So let's get back to the subject matter. And Mimi, even with, you know, the arrest and deportations, planes are still full of Nigerians coming to, say, South Africa or countries like Mozambique.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's called JAPA. Many Nigerians would always want to leave Nigeria for other African nations or even to travel abroad. But honestly, Judge, people move because they are looking for opportunities, mm-hmm. for jobs, for safety, you know, security, better lives and so on. And if these things were provided by their own governments, I don't think they'll be moving.
But let's be honest, people will always move, even if everything back home is perfect.
They won't move, George. I don't see myself or anybody living. If we had good universities and you're guaranteed that you are going to have employment after university,
maybe you just want to explore.
Why would you try and travel up? You explore as a tourist. You just visit another country and go back to your country. If all is well in your country, why would you move?
That's fair enough. But what did our guest tell us about that?
Yes, so we wanted to understand whether it's actually a policy problem. Is the government doing enough to, you know, ensure that their citizens are safe and, you know, provided better lives?
Unfortunately, everybody wants to leave. For me, I'm not in Nigeria also. So if anybody feels that going out there he will be able to get greener pastures, better than what he is getting or she is getting to in Nigeria, yeah, we wish them success. But the good thing is, when this happens, Nigeria also benefits because we also bring back funds or investment.
So when you talk about investment coming back to Nigeria from the diaspora, do we have clear figures showing how much Nigeria is currently benefiting from remittances and diaspora investments?
The remittance for last year was around 20-something billion, yes. And it increases every year. So there is this kind of investment happening between Nigeria, like Nigerians abroad, and Nigeria. For example, 2 weeks ago, we had Nido Africa organized sales and exhibition of made in Nigerian products in Senegal.
Of course, clearly, Jude is trying to emphasize that, of course, immigration can be beneficial to both, you know, the Nigerians and also to the host countries.
Right.
But what do you think? Are Nigerians being unfairly targeted abroad, or is there a deeper issue that needs to be addressed?
And what responsibility do governments and citizens themselves have in shaping how Nigerians are treated globally? Not just Nigerians, but also other citizens.
Remember, you can have your answers to this particular conversation by joining it, actually, and contributing through our YouTube page, DW Africa.
Under the Baobab is available on all our digital platforms, yes, including, George,
Spotify, mm-hmm, Apple Podcasts, and of course, I've mentioned YouTube as well.
DW Africa.
Yes. My name is George Okachi, and many thanks for following the conversation.
And I am Mimi Mefonewu. Bye.